This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but God and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. I continue to remind myself and you of taqwallah, piety and consciousness of God. And that was the legacy that has been bestowed down to humanity from the beginning of time, from the time of Adam alayhi salam. And it will remain as a concise legacy for us as human beings who walk this earth until the end of days. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that consciousness, that piety we have within us, within our heart, that which is private to us, that is much more accessible and true than what we seek to project and show to others in our public life. Allahumma ameen. Finding love in Ramadan. It's a beautiful, beautiful topic. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about barakah, blessing. We're going to talk about taqwa, piety and consciousness. We're going to talk about loving other people, especially those who are nearest to us. We're going to talk about the three levels of fasting. The fasting of, the intent, and the fasting of the limbs, and the fasting of the heart. There's so many things that relate to love, and Ramadan, and taqwa, and piety. And I wanted to share with you initially that our aim in the month of Ramadan is set for us. And the goal of fasting in the month of Ramadan is not one where we try to invent. You know, Allah doesn't say to us, try to do something. He tells us what it is that we should focus on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you of faith, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, prescribed upon you is fasting. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, as it was written upon the nations before you, the people of the scripture before you. Our cousins in faith, the Jews and the Christians, they had different forms of fasting. For example, you wouldn't be surprised to know that one of the forms of fasting was a vow of silence. So a nun, for example, she might say, I'm not going to speak for 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, and so on. And we find in our Quran that Zakaria, the Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, that when he was given the blessing that he was to have a son named Yahya alayhi salam, John the Baptist, his son was to be given to him, he asked Allah, give me a sign, how can I thank you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, thank me by holding your tongue, not speaking for 3 days and nights. ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّ. That was a form of siyam. And the greater aspect of siyam for us as believers was to fast with also our tongue and our eyes and our mind and our heart, but it begins also with abstinence. Now, one of the things that's extremely important for us to understand initially is that every moment where you seek to succeed, the moment you decide what you want to succeed in requires for you deliberation, endurance, patience, and a delay of instantaneous gratification. You have to say to something, I'm going to hold myself back from you because I want that then. I want that then. Now I must do something to get what I will have tomorrow. And Allah tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you of faith, ittaqullah, be mindful of God, be conscious of God. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. And let each soul look to what it brings the next day. What are you going to do for that next day? What do you want? What success do you seek? And the imagery of success in the Qur'an is that of a farmer. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful are those who are believers. The word success in Arabic, al-falah, it comes from falah, right? A farmer, someone who's going to toil his back. It takes back-breaking work. You clear the field, you move the stones, you dig out the roots, you irrigate the land, you leave it for months. And then you plant a seed. And that seed, hab, we're going to talk about it as being linked to hub. It's the same word with a different accent, because they both work in the same way. Love is a potential, is a seed that is planted. And therefore that seed that is put in the soil, you might look at that little apple seed that you and I throw out, we don't ingest, we say, it's not worth anything. It's worth money, it's worth time, it's worth delicious apple pies, it's worth many things. But it's only the one who is determined, who sees it through, who lets the tree grow, protects it from weeds, nurtures it with irrigation and shades it from the sun and praying birds, until it reaches its full potential. And Allah says that that full potential for us as believers is to take that fruit at its right time. But it takes sacrifice and a delay of gratification today for tomorrow. That is called siyam. You learn to hold myself back. See, that bottle of water sometimes could be more valuable than life itself. It's the source of life. خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ مِّن مَّا. Allah says, مِنَ الْمَاءِ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. Everything created from water. Everything needs that drop of water. And then the Lord of all that exists, the one who خَلَقْ, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ, the one who created, does he not know what's right for his creation? He's the one who says, don't drink it while the sun is up. Because you can do it, and if you can stay away from it, you can stay away from other things in your life. The aim, of course, in the month of Ramadan, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ, it's written for you, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, the reason, لَعَلَّكُمْ, perhaps. If you do it right, if you're fortunate, by chance, maybe, if you're lucky, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, your piety, your consciousness, your magnification of God may increase a little or much, depending on your effort in that month of Ramadan. So this month that's coming up in 20 some odd days is a big month. And this talk really for me, is a stepping stone to having a good Ramadan. My hope, inshallah, is that the words that I share with you, وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أُذَكِّرَكُمْ بِهِ وَأَنْسَى, and I seek protection from Allah that I remind you of that which I forget. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our reminder to benefit us as well, inshaAllah. Barakah. See, the Prophet, when the month of Ramadan would come, he would talk about blessing. You would think that the month of Ramadan is about holding back. You know, you're not going to take something. You're not going to eat. You're not going to drink. You're not going to enjoy the company of your spouse. Where's the blessing in that? But the thing that the Prophet talks about as being the most intrinsic, essential element of the month of Ramadan, أَتَاكُمْ رَمَضَانْ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ. The month of Ramadan is coming. It is a month of barakah, blessing. See, whenever something good happens, the dua we make for one another is for blessing. The brother gets married, you say, Barakallahu lak. May Allah put barakah in your marriage. You get a new baby, Barakallahu laka fil mawhub. May Allah put barakah in this young child who was a gift to you from God. Anything of success, of worth, we ask Allah to give it barakah. And therefore it becomes necessary for us to ask, what is this barakah? See, barakah doesn't reside in anything. It is only from Allah. The barakah I have and the barakah you have in your life is not your own doing. Barakah, it is a gracious blessing from Allah. It is a grace of God that at times we're not worthy of it. And the aim of arriving at that barakah is that it is sent by Allah. It's not manifest in any one place or thing. Not even in Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So barakah would refer to particular things. Objects can have barakah. Places can have barakah. Time, like the month of Ramadan, can have barakah. Occasions, like the Hajj, can have barakah. A locality, like the Kaaba and what is surrounding it, Philistine, Palestine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end its oppression, has barakah. Barakna hawlaha. Place is endowed with blessing, that God sent that blessing. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about blessing, He's saying that it is a beneficent force from Allah that flows through a physical and a spiritual sphere in the form of one of these three things: prosperity, protection, or fulfillment. Prosperity, protection, or fulfillment. Sometimes barakah is just a feeling. I feel good about my life. I feel good about my job. It's not that the barakah that I got the job, is that in my job I function well, I enjoy being there. It's a blessing sent to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now barakah means one of three things. And the ulama, when they talk about barakah, they say, if it occurs in something little, it increases it. You have something, and it's little, you sometimes underestimate it. You know, in Ramadan, we've all had this. You come at the end of the day, you know, mashallah, you or your wife were cooking, and you look at the food and you say, but we have 45 people coming. Surely this isn't enough. Sometimes at the end of cooking, you panic. Is there anything in the freezer? Go get some chips or fish and chips. Put something more. All of us have that panic. And we underestimate what Allah then puts barakah in. And this would happen with the Prophet and his companions, radiallahu anhum. Wa alayhi afdalus salaam wa atammu at-taslim. Barakah is that which you assume would not be enough is made more than enough. And the Prophet would say things to us like, the food of two is enough for three. And the food of three is enough for five. And the food of five is enough for a group. Don't count the numbers. Don't look at the thing. If your intention is good, if you did it with the right intention, the barakah will come. And those who will eat maybe three spoons will feel like they had a full meal because of the barakah. Number two is that if it occurs in something great, it protects it. Sometimes, alhamdulillah, you've been blessed. And Allah has given you something good. You look at that, mashallah, beautiful home that you find, alhamdulillah, paid off. Your children who've grown up, getting married. You look at something that you've achieved. Khalas, I've achieved it. It's almost complete. You don't want to add to it. What you want is to protect it. And that's barakah. That Allah yahfaz, guards, is the one who guards what is already in place. Third of barakah, of blessing, is that which you don't have and never thought you could ever have, that you could not plan how you would ever get it. You could not, if you were to try to chart a course to arrive at that successful destination, you could not even envision it, but Allah provides means from where you did not suspect. And Allah speaks of this in the Quran. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will provide provisions from where one does not think they can arrive. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The one who is conscious of God, Allah always makes for them an exit from every difficulty in life. Barakah, therefore, and taqwa are tied together. And whenever the Prophet would speak about taqwa, barakah was always implied in his discussion. Barakah is not a state and is not permanent. And you may have barakah now, but it may be taken from you. And therefore you're always asking Allah, Allahumma zid lana wa barik lana fi. Oh Allah, increase us and put barakah in it. Oh Allah, increase it and preserve it. Oh Allah, give us more from that which is good. Taqwa, which is the pursuit of barakah. Taqwa is what establishes barakah. Your honoring of God, your obedience of the Almighty, your love of Him is what attracts His blessing to you. It's what makes you stand out from the others. I put on my Facebook a translation of one of the things Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim said. He said, you know, Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah says, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim says, Ar-Rahman, it's like the sun. It benefits everyone in general. But Ar-Rahim is like that individual sun ray that touches you. Allahu Akbar. Look at that. Look at that imagery. Allah is Rahman, that glowing sun, everyone's going to benefit something from it. But when He is Rahim, He is especially merciful. God is compassionate, but He is especially compassionate, especially merciful to those who distinguish themselves to Him, to those who possess taqwa. And therefore the aim in the month of Ramadan is that you stand a foot higher than those around you. That you show Allah your true self. Here I am. And these concepts that, you know, when we go to Hajj, you say, Labbaika. Oh Allah, I've come to answer you. Hear me. I'm here. I'm available for your service. Fasting leads to taqwa, if it's done right. And there are three different levels of fasting. SubhanAllah, all of us, inshaAllah, we will establish the first level of fasting. All of us, we will begin by fasting from food, from drink. For those of us married, from lustful intentions and leanings to our spouse, we will disconnect. While the sun is up, we're separate from one another. We don't enjoy each other conjugally. And that in itself is difficult. Alhamdulillah, in Perth, we're blessed. You know, I think it's something like 10 or 11 hours of fasting. I was teasing some of my friends, you know, who are, you know, in those... northern countries, ya Allah protect them, 16 hours, 40 minutes in Toronto, right? And some of the hottest temperatures that have been recorded, you know, since people started beginning records, have been seen like in Egypt, in these countries where they're fasting 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 hours. Norway are fasting 20 hours. Allah be with them, ya Rabb. Abstinence, you know, that's tough. And regularly, of course, the imams will explain to people that if you're unable to fast, don't fast. You begin the day fasting. See, what do you do when it's 20 hours? Double what we're fasting. You begin the day fasting, and when you feel tired, you're unable to continue, it's too much, you break your fast and count it as a day that you will make up. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ Allah wishes facility for us. He doesn't want us to punish ourselves. Don't think that you're 20 hours, oh my God, I'm going to have to 30 days in a row. No, you might be able to do it the first day, second day, third day, and you might come to the fourth day and say, inshallah, I'll do it. You come at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you look, I don't break my fast till 10 p.m. I need to eat and I need to drink. خلاص, خيراً. You eat and you drink and you count that day for another day that you make when the sun is at a more opportune time. And therefore, fasting was never about harshness. It was about self-development and self-control and the ability to learn to delay gratification for a greater aim in life. The second level of fasting is the fasting of the limbs. Is that where your eyes are lowered, your tongue is guarded, your hearing is protected. Your habits change. You know, some of the things that we do that we know we shouldn't do, you begin to guard yourself from them a little bit. Perhaps, you know, I was listening to this kind of, sometimes there's some vulgar music that comes. I'm going to cut that out in Ramadan. Perhaps, you know, it's a person who used to indulge in watching, you know, certain shows or certain movies or things that they know they shouldn't view. They come in the month of Ramadan because it's a month of blessing, because it's a month you can overcome yourself, you restrict yourself. You go that little bit further. I'm not just going to eat, I'm not going to just stop eating and drinking. No, I'm going to do better. The one who wasn't able to wake up for Fajr, 5:30 in the morning, oh no, I'm going to wake up because I need to eat as well. Right? There's an added incentive, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, no problem. No problem, right? The one who doesn't normally go to the masjid, his foot doesn't carry him to the mosque as often. All of a sudden, men and women, they say, no, I want to go. I want to hear the Qur'an. I want to hear it. I want to hear what it sounds like. I want to hear the whole Qur'an from beginning to end. I'm going to go. I'm going to be with the imam from the beginning to the end. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who stands with the imam from the moment he stands until he ends at the night, is written for him what the imam recited. I want to be like that man. I want that blessing. So your limbs begin to humble to Allah. Now the third level of fasting, may Allah allow us to grow in that maturity, is that our heart fasts. And that's where we talk about love. Is that all of a sudden, the fasting is not out of duty. And the obedience to God is not out of compulsion. And it's not because everyone around me does it. You know, we're a Muslim family or we're the MSA or whatever it is. But the Lord of all that exists, who has provided for me for 11 months in the year, has asked me to consider the needs of others and feel the pain of others and share in the journey of others. And has asked me for little. And out of love and out of humility, I'm going to bow down to the one who created me and fashioned me. And therefore love for Allah and for His creation takes root and exists in that heart. Finding love. The word love in Arabic, it's a really strange word. Now, believe it or not, some of the Arab scholars of the mid-centuries were the first people to write about love. Al-Imam ibn Hazm, for example, he was an Andalusian scholar, right, from Andalus, Spain. He wrote a book that was translated and became the masterpiece of love and the discourse of love for generations. You know how in popular culture today there's this concept of a soulmate? That concept comes from his book, Tawqul Hamam, the ring of love of the doves, right? He wrote a book about love. And Ibn Hazm, he talks about soulmates and all these kind of things. And he analyzes the words that the word, you know, the letters of the word love. See, the Arabic language is a very mystical language. Each letter at the beginning of the word tells you what the word would mean, irrespective of the other letters. So for example, if I, words that begin with the letter sheen, like shams, or shajara, or shaitan, what's the one commonality of all of them? Any word that begins with sheen, it means that that word signifies something spreading. The sun spreads its rays, the tree spreads its branches, the shaitan spreads evil. Letters like, for example, qaf. That's the majestic letter. It's one of the most powerful letters in the Arabic language. Qaf. Everyone say qaf. It's like guttural, it's like qaf. Like if you're a woman, you feel like a man, qaf. You know, it's like one of the qaf, right? And all of the words that come with that letter beginning it, it's something about power and nobility and authority. Quran, qalam, qahr, quwwa, right? Qaf. Ha. Who can say ha? Do you see that? It comes from deep down. Ha. It's actually one of the most difficult letters in the Arabic language. especially for the Qurra, for those who, you know, seek to master the qira'ah, the recitation of the Qur'an. Ha is not ha, ha, right? And it's, it, you know, I remember, sometimes you would sit hours, right, in a particular word. Yuhibbuna, yuhibbuna. And you say, yuhibbuna. No, yuhibbuna, ha. And the teacher would look at you, say ha, ha, hadir. Ha is a tough word, a tough letter. And Al-Imam Ibn Hazm, he says, the reason the word hub begins with ha is because it's tough to find love. No, 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 go with me, come. He's a really romantic kind of guy, right? By the way, Al-Imam Ibn Hazm is the fifth madhab, the Zahiri madhab in our, you know, Sunni discourse, right? Now the letter ba is the easiest letter in the Arabic alphabet. The first word your son, daughter says is ba 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba. Because it's easy to lose love. It's difficult to find love, ha. And it's easy to lose love, ba. Hub comes from that word that if you change the accent from a dhamma to a fatha, it becomes hab. From hub to hab, which means a seed. And the function of love and seeds are the same. That love begins as something small, always immiscule, always full of potential, packed in that little seed. There are children to be brought into the world. There are grandchildren that will come from that little seed. There are anniversaries and happiness and sorrow and tragedy, all of that in that little seed of love. And love is of three stages. He talks about the physical love. You know, if you show me your baby, I say, mashallah, that's a cute baby. I love this baby. It's the first step. You look at something, you love it. You fall in love with, and they say, you know, I saw her, brother. Khalas. That was it. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you. Hab ala tul. Brother, it wasn't a seed. It was a tree. Straight away, a tree. Mango tree, brother. Delicious. Hab. Right? Straight away. But the physical is that immature love. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, you know, he talks about love. He talks about 60 different characteristics of love. Like he's written novels on love, right? And he talks about 60 levels of that immature physical love, where a person forgets things. You know, they wake up at night, I'm in love, you know. See stars in the middle of the... Look at the stars, brother. You say, Akhi, it's dhuhr time. What are you... it's weird. Do you hear... The birds seem, you know, chirpier, louder. It's mashallah. Love is in the air. Right? Then he goes on to emotion, where he begins to talk about the second stage of love is that it's now attachment because of human emotion, human compassion, mawadda. It goes from hubb to mawadda. And Allah talks about this mawadda in the Quran. جَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah places between a husband and wife what cannot be there outside that marital union. Outside that husband and wife, you can never have mawadda. You can have that immature love. Oh, she looks nice, you know. But that mawadda where it's compassionate love, where it's that love that wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning to change your son's diaper. I love the kid. He smells bad at 2 in the morning, but it's love, right? So now it's emotional. You show me your baby, yeah, it's a cute baby, but look at my baby. My baby's much more beautiful because I'm emotionally attached. But the third stage of love is a love that is of sacrifice. It goes beyond the physical. and it's not attached emotionally. It is one where you, as a person who loves another, are willing to endure for them what you would endure for no one else. And the greatest of those who we love with that attempt of sacrifice is the Almighty. And Allah talks about this in the Quran where He says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, there are some in mankind who love objects, people, things. They love other things. They love the worldly life. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love those things in the way that only Allah deserves to be loved. In only the way that God deserves to be adored. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but those who believe, أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, are more clingy, harder, deeper in love to God than anything else they encounter in life. That's where you say to yourself, I can forgo this because God said so. I can stay away from water because it pleases Allah that I can show and demonstrate self-control. I can take out of my pocket wealth for someone who I haven't seen, someone I don't know, that I will bless them with it. Hoping, not for thanks for them, because they don't know it was me, but only that Allah be pleased with me. I will pray at night when others sleep, because I love Allah. I will fast on days when it's hot, because I love Allah. I will adorn myself with hijab, in the face at times of Islamophobia and fear-mongering and hatred, because I love Allah. I will overcome my personal vices because I love Allah. And that sacrifice, that epitome of love, that highest level of love, is the end of that concept of La ilaha illallah, Tawheed. That mahabba, that you love Allah, and therefore your worship of Him is driven by love, not just by obedience to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to talk about how we chase it. And there are five steps that I want to talk about. All of them are taken from words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these aren't the only five, there's more to them, but we have short time together. Five things that are off the beaten path. I'm not going to talk to you about fasting and about reading Quran or dhikr. I'm going to talk to you about love as being an essential ingredient that you need to enter Ramadan with. Not just try to produce it in Ramadan. Al-Imam Ali radiallahu anhu arda Ali, he used to say, I used to prepare for the month of Ramadan by forgiving my enemies. I want you to think about that. You know how, you know, we say to each other, oh, I'm going to fast the month of Shawwal and Sha'ban, and I'm going to fast in Sha'ban, and you know, I want to give more charity, I want to save up to give my zakah in that month. Ali radiallahu anhu, he saw things a little bit different. He said, if I want to make sure that Allah is going to accept my asking of mercy, I must be merciful to the people who have wronged me. If I want Allah to hear me say, Ya Rabbi, ighfirli, oh Allah, forgive me, then I must forgive others. He said that I would prepare for the arrival of the night of Ramadan, that night before Ramadan, by freeing my heart of malice towards others, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Now, one of the things that are quoted in the books of wa'ad, the books of narration, is the concept of Yusuf alayhi salam as being a mystical allusion of the month of Ramadan. That Yusuf alayhi salam, his story and his surah was revealed before Ramadan became a fact. It was in Mecca, and it was a way of getting the Prophet to think about the importance of that month of Ramadan, it would arrive. And Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he talks about in Bustan al-Wa'idin, and others, you know, mention similar, that Yusuf was one of 12 brothers, just like Ramadan is one of 12 months. And Yusuf is the one who guaranteed forgiveness for his other 11 brothers. By him forgiving them, they were led to forgive the forgiveness of Allah. And by you exerting yourself in Ramadan, perhaps your 11 months where you were negligent could be forgiven to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, the first element that I want to discuss with you for finding that love of God is finding love for our family, in particular our spouse, in the month of Ramadan. You know, it astounds me, subhanAllah. Sometimes, wallahi, it astounds me that you will have a husband and wife who have fasted all day, hungry, thirsty, and then they come and sit at the dinner table to break fast together and they don't speak to one another. That they're angry with one another. They're doing this great act of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for His mercy and cannot show mercy to one another. And the first element, my dear brother, my dear sister, for those of you and I who are married, is to enter that month of Ramadan in love, hand in hand, sharing joy in our heart. You know, the Prophet says that there are two moments of joy when a person's fasting. The moment you break your fast, who you sit with, who you share it with, that climate in your home. I don't care what you're arguing about. Wallahi, I don't care. I don't care if your husband lost all the money. I don't care if the children are a little bit wild. Sometimes mine are too. I don't care what is between the two of you. Ramadan has come, the shaitan is out. There is no reason for you not to, in that moment of seeking God, to seek each other and comfort through each other. And therefore, the first advice that I give you in the month of Ramadan, as it arrives to you, is to rectify your situation with your home life, with your family, with your children. Ya akhi, young man, whose parents have raised you, whose mother, your mother picked you up when everyone put you down. You who, your mother, young sister, who she fed you before she fed herself, who clothed you with the best of clothes and wore the same hijab herself, who paid for your school fees and who drove you from one sporting event to the other, who took you to Duksi classes or wherever it is to learn the Quran. The month of Ramadan comes, the center of your life is your father and your mother. Love of your family is the greatest honor that you have on the Day of Judgment. They are the ones who will vouch for you. They are the ones who will talk about you. أَلْحَقْنَاهُمْ بِذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ. And Allah tells you in the Qur'an that those who are righteous, they will seek to pull with them their dhurriya, their offspring. You're going to reach out to your grandson. You're going to reach out to your children. You're going to reach out to your father and mother when you have made it in Jannah. And Allah, you know, the Prophet, he describes this beautiful hadith where a person will be in Jannah and he's about to enjoy something. And he remembers that person who he used to befriend in this life. And they will ask the angel about them. And the angel, they will say, they haven't come to paradise yet. And you and I, may Allah make us of those four first of people in Jannah. We're going to say, Ya Rabb, how can I enjoy this ni'mah in Jannah when I know this man, this woman I loved is behind me? And Allah, on account of your love, will bring them to you. Allahu Akbar. The hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Love is powerful. Love is what will make you from those who come near to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although your deeds are not worthy of it. You know, there was this one sahabi, one man. He was just in the mosque with the Prophet. And he walked out and he ran back crying. And he came to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbuk. O Messenger of Allah, don't leave here until you know I love you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Uhkum ma taqul, Think, deliberate about what you just said. And the man said, Wallahi inni la'uhibbuk. By God, I love you, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet said, if you love me, then be prepared for test and trial. Life isn't going to be easy for you. There's things you have to sacrifice and give up on account of me. You'll have to fast and endure and push hard. And trials and tests will come upon you quicker than the water flows down the side of a mountain after heavy rain. Like a landslide, like a tsunami of tests. أحكم ما تقول. Think again of what you said. He said, Ya Rasulullah, إني أحبك. I'm willing to face it on account of that love. But Ya Rasulullah, I fear that even though I love you and I try to be a good man, when I die, I don't know if I will go to Jannah. I don't know if I'll make it to paradise. But you will be with the prophets and you will be the martyrs and you'll be with the highest of people. I'm never going to see you again. It made me cry that I'll never see you again. And the Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel descended. And revelation came from Allah. And the Sahaba, they said, there was no ayah in the Quran that was revealed that made us more happy than this verse. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَيْتَعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ Those who have obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And they love Allah and His Messenger. فَأُولَٰئِكْ For them, مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ I will join them with the prophets. والصديقين, the acceptors of truth, والشهداء والصالحين. I will allow them to be with the Prophet of Allah, even though they haven't done and deserved that rank, on account of love. Begin with that love in your home, with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your mother, with your father. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says it's impossible for a believing man to hate a believing woman. There's no man who has belief in Allah that can hate his wife. If a person has hate for his wife, he can't be a believer. Cannot be a genuine, true believer in Allah. Because if he sees something he doesn't like, surely, with the eyes of faith, he will see something he likes. That's belief. Look at how the Prophet talks to us. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Number two, show compassion. And every single one of these statements is a hadith, is a statement of the Prophet. All of them gathered from the authentic sources. The Prophet would say, begin with those who are nearest to you in relation. Show your righteousness and your conduct to them first. Your in-laws. You know, I want you to treat, you know, sometimes we talk, we kind of scoff about the in-law, the mother-in-law, the demon, a'udhu billah. These kind of false concepts. Your mother-in-law, our scholars, they write, she has the same rank as your father. Not as your mother, but as your father. A quarter of your duty is to her. Three quarters is to your mother, but a quarter is to her. She has the rank of your father. You who has taken that wife as your bride, your mother-in-law is a sacred duty between you and Allah. And I just say to you, think of how the Prophet ﷺ treated his in-laws, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and others. Right? Think of the duties that are owed to them. Remember that a believer loves for others what they love for themselves. And here the Prophet talks about love. A true believer is that you love for yourself and you want others to have it. And one of the key concepts of this is that you have to know what I should love for myself. Some of us, we forget to love things for ourselves. We're always worried about other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet always tells us, no, we have to enjoy life and we have to love things for ourselves. We have to know what's good for us so that we can know what we want for others. And the Prophet would say that the food of one, the comfort of one, the home for one is enough for two. That which you have, don't ever think it's not enough. And don't ever think you can't part from it. And don't ever think you shouldn't share it. And don't ever think that by saving and saving and hoarding, rather than saving, hoarding and keeping from others, that that actually will prosper you and profit you in any way. And the Prophet would say, مَا صَدَقَ مَا نَقَصَ مَالٍ مِّن صَدَقَ. Never does someone share from their wealth in charity and that they themselves are deprived of it. It always returns, and in greater and greater amounts. The greatest charity, of course, is that a person spends on his family. You know, the Prophet ﷺ says, أَبْرَقُ الصَّدَقَةِ. The sadaqah, the charity that has the greatest barakah. Remember we're talking about barakah? Is that a man spends on his wife. Sisters love this hadith. They're like, brother, can you say that again? All the mobile phones, record that, brother. أَبْرَقُ الصَّدَقَةِ. The sadaqah, the charity with the greatest blessing, is infaqul mar'i ala ahli, is a man buys something for his wife. Because it puts love between each other. Remember that the one who feeds others receives the reward of the one who they fed who was fasting. While that person doesn't lose any reward. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أَجْرِهِ شَيْئًا. Invite people to your home. Bring people in. Share with the blessing that Allah has given you. If you're not going to have people in, take out to others. You know, subhanAllah, where's our brother Abdullah? Who here from the MSA, mashallah? We feed how many people every night in Ramadan? We feed in this university every night of Ramadan 250 students. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Share in that, ya akhi. Same thing at my other university, University of Western Australia. Hundreds of students who have come from international places, they don't have a home-cooked meal. Do something. You know, there's this one brother, and I'm not going to, it doesn't matter who he is. He brings a basket. You know how you see a lot of Muslims on the Saturday markets? You know those early, I see a lot of you, brother. Don't act like you don't go like me. We all got big families and stuff. Right? You know those Saturday farmer markets? There's this one brother, Jazallah Khair, he buys a box of apples. It's like 10 bucks, 12 bucks, nice ones. Don't get the $6 boxes, brother. Right? The nice box, the $12 box, and he puts it in the masjid. As people are coming out from Taraweeh, mashallah, everyone take. Who doesn't want an apple or two as they're coming out of Taraweeh on a Saturday night? Look at the, you know, it's a simple deed. It's a simple, simple deed. Another brother I know, wallahi, he buys two boxes of those 24 bottles of water. And he just puts it for people who want to have a bottle of water. Another one pays to refill that water tank in the Thornley Masjid, that it gets refilled and people enjoy from its filtered water. Do something that no one needs to know who you are, but do something for others. Share what Allah has given you. The Prophet says, remember that faithfulness is not complete unless you honor the elder and show compassion to the young and weakest in society. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَهُ وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرًا. And honoring the elder was put by the Prophet ﷺ as something all of us are required to do. It doesn't matter how old you are, there's always someone older. And it doesn't matter how old you are, there's always someone younger. The young need compassion. And the elders need for us to remember their service that gave us what we enjoy today. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ says, that you will not enter paradise until you have faith. And you will not complete faith until you love one another. Give love to one another. And the Prophet then said to share salam, to share the greetings. You know, see someone, you say, salamu alaykum. Saying salamu alaykum, you know, you acknowledge someone. You know, someone saw you, they acknowledge you. Not on account that you know each other personally, but you know that they're a person of faith, they deserve that greeting. All of those are statements of the Prophet ﷺ. Number three, serve others. So we talked about family. We talked about doing good to our family. Number three, the service of other people. If you were to qualify the whole life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, it was that he served others. He was there to help other people in life and after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, the best of believers, anfa'uhum linnas. If you want to know if you're the best of the believers, see how much service you provide for others. What manfa'a you have for other people. Everything in the world exists for other than itself. I want you to think about that for a second. And Imam al-Ghazali, he's very deep. You know, he says, everything that is there, it's there not for itself, but for others. The sun isn't there just for itself. It's there for a purpose other than its greatness. What purpose do you serve? Who are you there for? Who needs you? Who relies on you? And what do you fulfill towards others? Humble yourself to those who are not normally part of your circle of association. You know, subhanAllah, I have a lot of Turkish people that visit my home in Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, my wife, she's of a Turkish background, huge Turkish community. She's got like 10,000 cousins. And either we're at their house or they're at our house. But that's not enough. See, being associated with your cultural community as a Muslim is great, no problem. But limiting yourself just to Bahasa Malaya, you know, Somali Waria, you know, Anjera and Moz and Sukar, and that's it. That's the only thing I know. Those are the people that I bring into my home because we're either family or connected or we have business. It's only those. Well, what about that brother who you see every night in Taraweeh? That man who always beats you to the first line. That guy who has taqwa, who's there keen, who carries with him a momentum of barakah. And the only reason you haven't invited him to your home is because he doesn't speak your language? Your ethnic language of back home language? Is because your skin color doesn't match or your ethnicity doesn't match? And Ramadan is meant to break down those barriers. And therefore you should endeavor to walk off that beaten path and to seek to serve people in your community who are not from those who are regular members of your circle of influence and friends. It's not about what degree or knowledge or scholarship you have. It's not about what your ethnicity is or what your cultural background is. There's a time for that. There's 20 days for that. But at least have 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 for other people who deserve your love and attention equally. And that was the habit of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Number 4, reconnect with those who have cut you off. They cut you off. Not you cut them off. It's not your problem. It's not, you didn't do anything wrong. So you think anyway. It's them. Okay. We haven't spoken, brother, all year. And, wallahi, I had one brother. His own blood brother. He hasn't spoken to him for years. 2 years, 3. They were fighting over a piece of land back home that none of them have ever seen. They inherited it from a grandfather or an uncle or something. And they're fighting as to who owns which part of it. No, this mango tree is my mango tree. They've never seen the land. And because the older brother, I'm the older, he should respect me. And before I ask, he should give me the tree. MashaAllah. And then, no, I will not talk to him, brother. Why, ya akhi? Why don't you want to talk to him? He saw me and didn't say assalamu alaikum. He saw me in the masjid, he didn't say assalamu alaikum. When I speak to the other one, he goes, wallahi, I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe I didn't see him. It was Jumu'ah, there's like hundreds of people. I go back to the other brother. He says, yani, he didn't see you. He goes, no, I don't believe it. How about you meet? Come to my house. Neutral ground. Come. No. We're not going to speak. One of them went overseas. I said, Ya akhi, it's Ramadan. Call your brother. But he's the young one. I said, Ya akhi, forget young or old. Call your brother. He's not going to answer. It doesn't matter. Call him. Here's my phone. He'll answer me. He says, no. I don't want you to pay overseas. He rings with his number. First ring, his brother answers. Instead of saying, his brother goes, Assalamu alaikum. Instead of saying, Wa alaikum assalam, he looks at me and goes, he answered. I said, okay, you could talk to him, talk to him. He goes, Wa alaikum assalam. And you know, there's this awkward silence. Allahu Akbar. And then they talked. See, that's the barakah of Ramadan. The barakah of Ramadan, remember I told you, something that is non-existent, you don't think could ever happen, it happens in Ramadan. That family member who you think will never come to your house will come. That father who you think will never forgive you will forgive you. Your brother who hasn't spoken to you, your sister who walked out, anything can be fixed in Ramadan. But it's their fault. Doesn't matter. The Prophet ﷺ says, صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَعَفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. Connect the one who cut you off. And forgive the one who wronged you. They wronged you. The Prophet says to you, I know, they wronged you. You forgive them. Because you want God to forgive you. You want God to accept you. صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَعَفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. Finally, seek the company of the righteous. Try to find good people for yourself. I don't mean look at your friend right now and say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. What am I doing with you? You're dead weight. I don't know where you're taking me, right? But, you know, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he would write to other imams. And you know, Imam al-Shafi'i was poetic. He would say, you know, and there were others who would say similar words. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. He would say, I love the righteous even though I'm not one of them. Sometimes we don't think, you know, we're really good people, so I can't be really like with these who I think are really good people. See, we sometimes look at people outwardly. We don't know what people are inwardly. Don't think I'm telling you that you should find someone who looks religious. I'm telling you, find someone who's good-hearted, who will love you as much as you love them, who will share with you even if you can't share with them, who will forgive you even when you wrong them. Find a good person who will honor you for who you are and always push you towards the Almighty to do that which is better. They'll remind you of good things in your life and they'll hinder you from things that they know are not good for you in your future. Find a good person. Attract, you know, the good. And Allah always talks about this spiritual formula. الطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ. The good are always with the good. Men, good men, they find good women. Right? Good people find each other. And the hadith of that soulmate that I alluded to, you know, Ibn Hazm, when he talked about that soulmate, he talks about this hadith in Bukhari, where the Prophet ﷺ said, the souls before they came into this world, they were familiar with one another. Our souls knew each other, intermingled with each other before we were born into this world. So the souls that you're familiar with that attract you, and there are souls that repel you. Have you ever met that one person who you just know, you've never seen them, talk to them, just in front of you, you just know I'm going to hate you? Yeah, I don't know why. Kid, something about you, I hate you. Don't know why. There are souls that repel you and there are souls that attract you. And that concept of soulmate isn't just your loving wife or husband, but it's the people who nurture your soul. And that's important. Al-Imam al-Khattabi, he's the first person to make a sharh, an explanation of Sahih Bukhari, before Ibn Hajar and others. And he says that this hadith, it means that if one righteous soul was to walk in a room of 1,000 souls, it would gravitate to that one other righteous soul in the midst of 1,000. Like your soul will find the good in the darkness of people that is out there. You will find that light that you are attracted to. So attract that light by increasing your devotion and love for Allah. So seek the company of the righteous. Where do you find them? You find them in the masjid. You don't find it on the internet. No, I'm being serious to the brothers. See, we live in an era today where a person thinks that they can learn about Islam from the net. That they think that they can learn from YouTube. That they think that, what they see in slick propaganda, criminal videos of terrorism and all this kind of stuff, that actually is real. And that actually is something that is, you know, something that can be of a motivating factor. No, ilm, knowledge and righteous is not attached in that distant setting. It was always something of connection of people, one to another, hearts that meet, right? And find yourself in the masajid, stand in the lines with people who turn to Allah and hear the Quran from beginning to end, where their knees are shaking from being tired at night. Be from those who recite the Quran before and when you return home. Like, show your true devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to conclude my discussion with you with one final hadith. And this is actually one of my favorite hadith of Ramadan, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the hadith, it's an authentic hadith. He quotes Allah. It's a hadith Qudsi, meaning Allah has given the Prophet information and the Prophet describes it in his own words. And the Prophet says, قال الله أصوم لي وأنا أجزي به. Fasting is only for me, and I'm the only one who values it with reward. No one around you knows me or you the quality of our fast. Only Allah. There are some of us who will receive an unending reward on account of a day's fast. And there are some of us who we get at the end of our day's fast nothing but hunger and thirst. May Allah protect us from that, Ya Rab. I want you to set that goal in mind, that Allah observes your fast independently. It's not something that the angels will say to Allah, Ya Allah, it should be this value. No, Allah is the only one who will value it. Because you left your water and your food and your drink, تَرَكَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He left the necessities of life only because of me. So I will reward that man and that woman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are faizin, successful in this month of Ramadan. May Allah mend our hearts and put love for our families in our hearts. May Allah mend the rifts of those of us who have separated from loved ones and loved friends. May Allah connect those of us who are overseas with others who we are in turmoil with. May Allah bring peace and barakah and love and mercy to our homes before and during and after the month of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen.